Fret Film Radio, I'm Matt Micucci from IDFA 2014, joined by the co-director of Art and Craft, Sam Coleman. So thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, yeah.
How are you enjoying Amsterdam so far?
It's been great. This is especially great for me because we were here last year pitching the film at the Forum, and it was an incredibly stressful, intense time for the film. We didn't yet know where it would land. We didn't know if we'd have the funding to finish it, and here I am now with the film at the festival, and I get to relax and actually enjoy the city and see some films, which is great.
That's great, and I saw your film last night, and I really enjoyed it, so I'm happy to be talking to you about it. But for the benefit of our listeners, would you like to tell us in your own words what the film is actually about?
Sure. Art and Craft is a documentary about an American art forger by the name of Mark Landis. And he's unusual for many, many reasons, but the biggest of them all is that for 30 years he was creating fake paintings and then giving them away to institutions around the United States until the moment that he was caught. And that's when we started filming with him. And the film sort of unravels his history, his motivations, which are incredibly complex and I think cut against what people initially would have expected of him. And then ultimately sort of the repercussions of his exposure and the potential for what his life will be like now.
So, I mean, now I'm very curious as to, like, where this whole idea started and how you got to meet him.
Yeah, so it's a funny story. My partner, Jennifer Grassman, who's also directed the film with me, read about the story in the New York Times about 3.5 years ago. And it's amazing that one can still make a film based off an article in a newspaper, especially at the Times, because these days everybody's trying to make a film. But we were able to because, I don't know, the story caught our eye, and Jennifer's in particular. And, you know, at the time, Mark had not been found. The story really trumped up the sort of sensational aspects of the fact that there's this forger, identity unknown, we can't find him, he's at large. You know, the Times said, after repeated attempts, we could not find him, you know, and clearly they didn't try very hard because Mark was, you know, he's unusual in that he, as I said, for many reasons, but in this particular instance, he really wasn't hiding from anybody. You know, you could find him very easily, and we did. He was living at his mother's apartment in Mississippi and was incredibly open, willing, wanting to tell his story.
Oh, so he was willing to actually have cameras, you know, tell his story.
He really was. You know, oftentimes documentaries, you struggle with the idea of whether somebody might tell their story, especially when there's a prospect of illegality involved like there is here, and misdeeds, moral, you know, ambiguity. But Mark really, really wanted to tell his story. He was, you know, he was an open book. He really was. The first day we filmed with him, we filmed him making copies, and by the second shoot, a few months later, when we went down there, he let us film him giving them away.
So you basically, like, you spent quite a lot of time with him. You got to know him pretty well.
We did, yeah. It's a very intimate film, you know. And you know, initially the film was constructed in our minds as an art caper, you know. Who is this guy? Why is he doing it? And that all is true, but the sort of obvious art questions occupy the film, but they do not take over the film, because at the end of the day, the film really is about this one man and about uncovering his motivations, which, you know, are very individual, but I think they have some universal application, universal relevance to I think where we are as a culture, where we are as a people, and our own humanity.
Yeah, you try to understand his nature, but also I really appreciated the fact that you weren't judgmental at all.
Yeah, you know, the question of judgment about what Mark's actions really was not for us. I think, you know, the media had done plenty of that already, the casting him in a very particular way. And, you know, it was easy for us to instead focus on, you know, the perception of who he was and then try and uncover really what he was about. So we could get to all the sort of criticisms of him through the voice of the curators and the museum folks who had been fooled by him, who were rightfully indignant about you know, his 30-year ruse. But you know, that was really just the beginning. And so scratching the surface, getting much deeper into understanding him was what was our quest.
Yeah. And I have to say that I really appreciate, like, he's such a fascinating character. And to me, there was something cinematic about it. And I really appreciated the fact that you actually do use footage from, like, you know, films that he quotes or he makes reference to.
Yeah, so Mark is, you know, he's many things, but one he is a cinephile. He loves those old 40s and 50s film and 60s television show. These were things that he grew up watching and continues to watch obsessively to this day. In fact, part of his process and making fakes is that he'll make a copy usually within the span of the time it takes to watch one film, and he really would like to not work any longer than that, and right. he'll move on. And doing this for 30 years has totally invaded his mind and his headspace. And so we found often that maybe in retrospect, but sometimes when we could pick it up as we were filming, but Mark was constantly referencing old films in things that he said, and you weren't quite sure whether that was some new pearl of wisdom that he dropped on you or whether he was just quoting something. And over time we started to tease that out of the film, and it became an important device, not just to demonstrate his personality, his instincts, his his references and his influences, but also it was an important device for us because our film centers around a solitary figure. Mark is a schizophrenic. We haven't really talked about that yet. It turns out he's a diagnosed schizophrenic. He spent 30 years of his life doing this, but often in solitude, and his only chance to meet people was through this con, through giving away these fakes. And so we had a central character who spent so much time at home, and that presents challenges for making a film. What we were able to do is use the references of the films that Mark would talk about and sort of transport us to another place as a way to sort of create some breath to the process.
You talk to people that have from museums, and the people that have been trying to hunt him down, kind of, they have a personal mission against him. Actually, one man in particular too, who is. So, what was the kind of reaction that you got when you told them we're making a film about him?
Similar to Mark, people were an open book. They really wanted to talk about it. I think primarily because they had been embarrassed and they wanted to explain their embarrassment, not to explain away what they, how they had been fooled, but to just sort of provide context. And I think to their credit, there were people who turned us away, larger institutions that Mark duped. But these folks who are in the film, to their credit, were willing to sort of approach their own vulnerability and discuss their own vulnerability in the context of an art world that, as they say, Mark hit their soft spot, art and money, and he was able to expose that, and they were interested in talking about that.
Did you have anything in mind when you stepped in, and did you have something structured, or did you just shoot impulsively? Because in some bits of the film, we actually see him, taking his works to people, and even seeing him in action in a way too.
Yeah. It was pretty impulsive, I have to say, actually. I mean, we, the great thing about documentary, the real pleasure, the gift as a filmmaker is to be able to discover your story as you're working on it. That's why I continue to do this and continue to want to do it. It's that investigation and that sense of discovery. And this film was no different. We walked into this film thinking it would, as I said, be more about art issues, and then it turned out to be something different. And what we also didn't know was really where the story was going to end up, but the ingredients were strong. This was a guy who had perpetrated this inexplicable in some ways ruse for 30 years, finally was caught, and it was clear that we were catching up with him at a moment in his life that was pregnant with the potential for either transformation or confrontation or something. And as it turns out, unbeknownst to us, there was a great story in there. And without giving too much away, because it is a fun reveal in our film, yeah. But the guy who outed him, who sort of became obsessed with the story and was the sleuth behind the story, doesn't give up just with the idea alone that he exposed him. And he goes so far to create a circumstance by which the two characters meet at the end of the film.
Right, so the film is playing here at ITFA. We mentioned that we were talking about it a little before the actual interview, and it's had a run in the States.
Yes.
So now it's you're trying to find good distribution here in Europe, right?
Yeah. So in Europe, it's sort of we're in the beginning stages of trying to figure this out. We were lucky enough to have some really important partners in Europe help us make the film. But it's not it's very smaller countries in Europe. So the film will be distributed in Denmark. It'll be distributed in Sweden. It'll be distributed in Austria and in Israel. But beyond that, there will be a French theatrical run. And beyond that, we're still looking for other folks to sort of sign on. As I understand it, there are, you know, unsurprisingly, forgers in every country in Europe, and I think lots of the broadcasters, you know, want to sort of tell the local story, but I suspect that no one quite has a story that quite like this one, because Mark is so unusual, such a unique character. So hopefully, by that fact alone, the story will find a wider audience.
Yeah, well, I hope so too. I mean, I really enjoyed the film, so I wish you all the best with it. And thanks very much for taking the time off and talking to us about it.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you. Yeah.
Thanks very much. And this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio. 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.